I do believe our service is going from glory to glory. Let another praise you so I didn't add the third glory. Oh, I'm excited to preach. I always love preaching. For those that don't know me, I got to meet some of the visitors. My name's Peter. Man, I'm excited to share this word today. Thank you, Lord. This is really born. Actually, let's just pray over the word. Mostly because there's kind of just lots of transitions in today's service. So I just pray, Father, that you'd prepare our minds and our hearts to hear the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just minister with your sufficiency that you give me to bless these people with your words. Thank you, Father, your words. Thank you, Father. All right. Last week, at the end of service, Roger asked a really great question. Brad's been teaching about the heart of man. He's been teaching about the fact that we truly are born again, that we have the Spirit of Jesus on the inside of us, and how that sort of plays out. And Roger asked a beautiful question at the end of service that Brad addressed for about 8 or 10 minutes. But I thought that maybe I would address it a little bit more today because I do believe that this set me free about 4 years ago. There's this one sermon I was listening to from Chris Valadin, and I listened to it at least 5 times. One day I was driving up to Westerville in the car, and he said something that just, the Holy Spirit just quickened it to my heart, and I was like, oh my gosh, this revelation just bursted forth inside of me, and it was like, oh my gosh. I listened to that sermon probably 5 times straight through over the next week just to try to start to get it. And the place he was ministering from particularly is the place that Roger was asking a question from last week, from about Romans 6 and 7 and even into Romans 8 a little bit. It even starts in Romans 5. So I'd like to kind of visit that because I think it'll be a blessing to a number of you. Andy gave a great word today that's very much in line with what I'll be ministering. And he was saying, you know, maybe I'm just the last one that got this. But actually, I think Andy was experiencing something very similar to me, which is, you know how it is with this sort of thing. It's like you don't got it, and then all of a sudden you get it, and it bursts forth in your heart, and it's a revelation of the Lord, and it changes your life. So I was just really asking the Lord this week, and I'm asking in faith that he would do exactly that for the people here today. So this changed my life, and I hope it'll bless you as well. Okay. The question that Roger asked, and by the way, if you want to open up your Bibles, we'll be in Romans 6 and 7 probably to start. The question that Roger asked was, Roger said, what about our sin nature? As in, Brad, can you tell me about our sin nature, how that fits into this whole thing? Because Brad's been teaching, you know, a verse to support what Andy Davis was saying at the end of worship is 1 John 4:17 that says, as he is, Jesus, so also are we in this world. That doesn't mean as he is, so also are we in heaven. It means as he is, so also are we in this world. That means the Spirit of God, if you're born again, is living on the inside of you, and it's not needing to get more perfect. The Spirit of Jesus is not needing to get more holy. The Spirit of Jesus is not needing more faith. The Spirit of Jesus is already perfect, and it's on the inside of you. And so what Roger asked is he said, what about our sin nature? Now, to some of you, you might say, what's that? Because you might not read the NIV. I read the NIV for probably the first 4 years I was a believer. And this is a situation where only as a matter of constructive input so that you could be helped in getting set free of this, the NIV has grossly mistranslated a phrase that's supposed to be old man in the Greek, and they've called it sin nature. Through like Romans 6 in that area. Now, I don't have any gripe with NIV, people that translated the NIV. I'm not mad at them or anything else like that, but I do want you to be set free. It's not sin nature in the Greek. It says old man. Do you hear me? Yeah, that's a huge difference. I mean, sin nature. How did sin turn into, or how did old turn into sin, and how did man turn into nature? You know what I'm saying? It's literally not literal. And in this case, a doctrine more or less hinges on that a little bit, or I should say it may be a little different. I don't think the doctrine hinges on that, but I think if you only read the NIV like I was for years, you'd have to get some good teaching from somewhere else to realize that you don't have a sin nature. Okay, I'll tell you a little more about that. All right, so Roger was asking about the sin nature, and basically, what the word says about the sin nature is, first of all, the Greek, like I said, is old man, not sin nature. And the second thing that the word says about your old man is that he's dead. Amen. Okay, try this. Oh man, I'm still feeling that one flow out of me. Okay, for if we have been, this is Romans 6 verse 5, for if we've been united with him, Jesus, in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Verse 6, we know that our old man was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer would be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. We know that our old man was crucified with him, with Jesus, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Sin's not your master. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Do you hear me? Sin is not your master. And if you need a scripture for that, it's verse 14. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law but under grace. Your old man's dead. D-E-D. Dead. It's dead. That's what happened when you got born again. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer, I'm having fun by the way, it's no longer I who live, but Christ, his spirit, lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. That's a side teaching, but you get to live by the faith, Brad's been sharing this with us, the faith of Jesus. We've been given the full measure of faith. If you're a born-again believer, you do not need to get more faith. You need to get less unbelief. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11:23, he said, if you believe in your heart, when you pray, it says, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Sorry, I'm butchering that verse a little bit. He says, if you speak to this mountain, believe in your heart and do not doubt, and you say to it, be thou removed or plucked up and cast into the sea, it will be done for you. You don't need more faith. You have the faith of Christ on the inside of you in full measure if you're a born-again believer. The only thing you need is less unbelief. We've wired our brains to suppress the power of God from coming out. Philemon 1:6 says the sharing of our faith will become effectual through the acknowledgement of what is on the inside of us. If we do not acknowledge what's on the inside of us, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the sharing, the outputting of our faith, the manifestation of our faith will not be fully effectual. We'll limit God. Our thinking limits God. How's that? Our thinking limits God. Listen, Matthew 7, verse 7, I think it is, says, ask and you'll receive. Well, it's a lot more complicated than that. I just got to tell you, brother. Yeah, I mean, when you grow up in the Lord a little bit, you'll find that there's a lot of factors that determine whether you receive. Well, the next verse says, everyone who asks receives. Huh. Why do we sometimes not experience it? It's not God. He answers every prayer you've ever prayed in faith. And he answers it in the Spirit. And then faith is the substance of it. Faith is what brings it into reality. We actually have way more of a role in what happens in our life than we like to give ourselves credit for. The fruit that we have in our life is because of the words we're speaking, because of what we're believing. We're always trying to get God to move. I felt like he was showing me this the other week. We're trying to get God to move. Oh, come on, God, move. You know, we can't get God to move. He's done already moved. He moved when he spoke his word. He doesn't speak a word without already having the action to back it up. If you want a scripture for that, Isaiah 55. Right at the end of Isaiah 55, it says, his word will not return to him void. God does not bounce checks. It will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it, and he's just looking for a body of believers that will speak his word and bring it to pass in this earth, because he will not impress his word upon us apart from us speaking it. Your old man's dead. You got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. I love how Andrew Womack says it. You're one-third wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? I'll play out this old man thing a little bit more. If you go to chapter 7 of Romans, right after where we were at, it gives it, Paul, knowing that this was going to be hard for people to get, gives it to us in multiple ways. At the end of verse 6, he talks about it as though, kind of in terms of slavery, being a master and a slave. In verse 7, or chapter 7, he talks about it in terms of marriage. Now watch this. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? Keep listening. Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Jesus Christ. What about your old man? It's dead. So that you may belong to another. To him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. You know, when the Bible says that we're the bride of Christ, we're the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We were married to our old man. Our old man's dead. We're no longer married to him at all. We are not married to the old man anymore. We're married to Jesus. Isn't that awesome? His words are seed. See Mark 4 for the parable of the sower. His word is seed. Our heart is the soil. Again, from Mark 4. Also supported by Proverbs 4:20-23. Talks about out of the heart flow the issues of life, right? So guard your heart with diligence. Jesus is our husband. His seed. This is, I mean, it really means like husband, right? Of course, it's spiritual, but I mean, the analogy just plays out perfectly. His seed can go into our heart to bear his fruit in our life. Okay, another way to say that is I've been saying in the morning, Father, your word in my heart for your fruit in my life. Your word in my heart for your fruit in my life. You used to have an old man before you got born again. He was bent on doing wrong things. And the things that he was bent on doing issued forth out of your heart, right? But we have a new husband. His name's Jesus. He's wanting to impregnate us with his word so that we bear his fruit. But he will not force himself on us. Were we to want to bear his fruit, we would look in his word and get his seed in our hearts. And then we will have his fruit in our lives. Your old man is dead. The reason that often I think we don't really read the word, we don't really read it, or at least we don't see the fruit of it, is we don't believe it. Sorry, I don't have a more complicated answer. I've been trying to find one for years. It's not more complicated than that. We don't believe the word of God. We believe, I mean, I know that all of us believe little parts of the word of God. But what we tend to do is we trust our experience more than the word of God. We trust our circumstances more than the word of God. We trust our thoughts more than the word of God. Proverbs 3 has something to say about that, and everybody knows that verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make straight your paths. Then, in case that wasn't clear enough, be not wise in your own eyes. Like, when you think of yourself, consider yourself not wise. In your own eyes, in my own eyes, the Bible tells me to think of myself as dumb. God didn't make me dumb, but I can have dumb thoughts all my own. Right? It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Right? So that's what we're supposed to do. But what we do is we exalt our thoughts, our experiences, our emotions. Emotions are a huge one. I don't really feel like worshiping today. Do you know what I'm saying? Or I feel bent out of shape. We exalt all those things above the word of God so we don't get the fruit of God in our lives, because what we're doing basically is we're still sowing the seed of our old man in our heart. And it's because we don't know anything different. It's literally like someone who used to be married to this terrible old man. See, this is a great chance for the ladies to kind of get their recompense here, because or not recompense, maybe that's the wrong word. Guys, the ladies are always called sons of God, but in this today it's kind of even keel. We're the bride of Christ. So anyway, it's like we were all married to this terrible old man. All he ever spoke was nastiness. All of his words were nastiness. It was perverted. It was impure. It was harsh. It was hateful. It was greedy. It was jealous. Just see Galatians 5. You can see all the works of the flesh are evident, right? It was all of these things. And our old man, that's all he ever spoke to us. So we had this treacherous marriage with this old man. We were one with this nasty old man until he died. And the Bible says that we were set free. Don't you know that you're only married to him as long as you both shall live? He died. He was crucified with Christ. Now you got the Spirit of Jesus living on the inside. You got a new husband. And this husband is telling us things like, you're my beloved. You're the apple of my eye. Ask and you'll receive. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hands to will be blessed. By my stripes you were healed. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what your new husband is telling to you all the time, but the governance of your thinking is shutting him down. And Jesus will not force his words upon you. He'll just keep loving you. He'll keep speaking those things. Right now, the Spirit of God on the inside of you, even if you were resisting this word, the Spirit of God on the inside of you is jumping up and down, and I know that because I'm preaching the word, is jumping up and down saying, yes, 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 but it's still up to here whether you receive it or not. That's all there is to it. God gave you a free will. You can choose to accept or reject his love. You can accept or reject his love about salvation. You can accept or reject his love about provision in your finances. You can accept or reject his love about relational wholeness. You can accept or reject his love about healing. You can accept or reject God's love on every issue of life because he's given you 100% total free will. And you had an old nasty husband who was telling you all sorts of wrong things your whole life, and you always got bad results. All these negative spiritual kids, and you got a new husband that's telling you a new thing in a new day, and you're shutting him down. I guarantee you're shutting him down. I know that I'm shutting him down. I'm serious. And this is what Brad calls walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is walking by the Word. If you walk by the word, the power of Jesus Christ will come out of you in your life. That's all there is to it. All the power is there. You don't need to conjure up any more power. All the power is there. You just need to renew your mind so that the power of God comes out. Because you've got a governor on your car, and you have a Porsche 911 Carrera Turbo something. Is that the best car you can get? And it's going 33 miles an hour down the street. I'm passing you in my 1997 Volvo station wagon. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Chris Valadin talks about, Avery said it's necrophilia. Yeah, we gotta stop talking to dead people.
Amen.
I'm serious. Don't try to raise the dead. They're dead. Yep. Your old man is dead.
D-E-D.
D-E-D. He's dead. You're a new... Here's another scripture. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, the old has passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. I'm starting to get it. Hey, Eddie. Man... 4 years ago, this just started setting me free. Let me give you a verse why this is so important, because Brad's teaching on walking in the Spirit. Romans 7, verse 8. But now we are released from the law of marriage, in this case, you know, released from the law, and generally the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. That's it. This is the linchpin that will either unlock the door and let us walk into a life led by the Spirit, or keep the door shut because we're too busy talking to a dead man instead of starting to listen to Jesus, who's not only our maker, but also our husband, Isaiah 54, verse 5. Oh, sorry, that's chapter 6, verse 6. No. No, that was, it was chapter 7, verse 6. Yeah. Sorry, somebody found it. What did I say? Ezekiel verse chapter 39?
You said Romans 7:8.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't 7:8, sorry. Romans 7, verse 6. Now that you're all hopefully not confused. I'll just end with a story real quick. We bought it, and then this will be it. I'll pray for you guys. We bought a dust collector for our new wood shop. You guys know I've been setting up a wood shop. This dust collector is about 6 feet tall. It's pretty powerful. It's like a big vacuum. It's got a motor on it. I had an idea. I'm going to rewire this bad boy for more power. I'm going to put it on 240 volts. Okay, long story short, I had read the manual at some point knowing I was going to do that, and I was like, oh, you go in the control board of it and flip a switch from 120 to 240. Easy. So then I took it all apart and I made sure I had that switch flipped because I thought, man, if I don't get this right, I could probably blow up my motor. So I get the switch flipped. I put on my own like 240 outlet plug, or even make a 240 extension cord. So I'm all set. Long story short, that motor starts smelling like burning. Got the Powermatic guy on the phone, all this stuff. Starts smelling like burning. And over the next month, I have that whole thing taken apart. They've sent me a new motor because he says, oh, your motor's bad. We'll send you a new motor. And so we take the whole dust collector apart, I can't even get the motor off. I mean, I've spent hours doing this, trying to get a new motor onto this dust collector that seems like it's not working or non-functional. And then one day, I look down at the new motor and notice on the side of the motor it says pre-wired for 115. I said, man, that's so weird that they would put that note on the motor when you don't have to do anything to the motor to rewire it. And then it dawned on me like a ton of bricks. Oh no, did I skip a step? So I go looking through the manual and I'm like, I did step two, but not step three for converting to 240 volts. So I was the one that had broken this motor. And I had this like sinking feeling like, oh man, I broke this motor. I asked Megan, my wife, that night, have you ever done anything this stupid? She didn't have an answer. And so then I start trying to take this thing apart and switch motors, and I can't do it, and because it's all locked in there really tight, and I got this whole thing. Finally, we have the brilliant idea, why don't you just rewire the motor like you were supposed to this whole time and plug it in, and if it works, build the thing back up and you don't have to switch the motor out. Maybe the motor's not bad. Maybe you just didn't we know we didn't wire it correctly. So we look at the manual and real carefully make sure the one goes with three and the two with the four or whatever you're supposed to do in these motor leads with the wire nuts, put the cap back on, set the motor so it's nice and stable for when we turn it on, and we turn it on, and it works with 100% totally full power. The motor wasn't broke, it just wasn't wired correctly. If you want to operate in more power in your life, you have to rewire your thinking according to the manual. Amen. Do you see it? Yeah. I hadn't rewired the motor according to the manual, and here I thought I had a bad motor. You've got the full faith of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. You lack no power. You just need to rewire your thinking according to the manual. Amen. Make sense? Well, Father, I pray a sealing of this word, I pray it would change lives. It would change lives. We got to just stop doubting God. I'm serious. I'll speak for myself. My thoughts are stupid compared to God's. Stop trusting your thoughts. Yes. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Just stop it. Just stop it. Stop trusting your emotions. Your emotions are fickle. Seriously. Stop trusting science saying you can't be healed. You can be healed. Do you know what I'm saying? We just got to trust the Word of God more than our circumstances, more than our experiences, more than our emotions. Okay. Thank you, Father. Here's the last thing I'll say real quick, because I think you guys need this. I was about to stop, and I feel like you need this. Okay. Elijah almost ran Jezebel out of town. Raise your hand if you know that story, so I know if this story will work. Okay. I'll just read Psalms 18. It'll do it better. Psalms 18:37. I pursued my enemies and overtook them and did not turn back till they were consumed. If you want to change your thinking, you have got to make a decision that you're not going to turn back on trusting the Word of God until you see it manifest. You have to make a decision. We've got a whole system of unbelief built up so that we don't see God's power come out of us, but that same system of unbelief is what keeps us from changing our system of unbelief. You know what I'm saying? You have to make a decision. Your thoughts are at odds with God. If they are, change them according to His word. Does that make sense? You got to make a decision. Just follow it all the way through. That's the last thing I'll say. All right, thank you, Father, for this word. Pray, Father, every ounce of your power that's gone forth, every bit of seed that has gone forth from your word, Lord, would stir up in people's heart, and it would bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Pray a covering and a sealing over this word. And I pray, Father, that we would hear your call to come up here, to come up here, to come up here. Lord, our thinking would come up here. We'd set our eyes on Jesus. We'd set our eyes on Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. All right, that's all I got. If anyone would like prayer, come on up. Great having you all here today. Thanks for coming.